Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Did you guys see the news that Hallmark Channel fired Lori Loughlin? Just one bit of fallout from this whole college entrance exam, fake sports recruit cheating scandal. Even Phil Mickelson was talking about it at the Players Championship on Thursday because he's got kids who are getting ready for college. I don't know if any of them are in college yet. He has 5 kids, right? All I remember is there are little bitty toad heads that used to run around out there on the final green after he finally won the Masters. But they're bigger now. And so, yeah, this is the top story, believe it or not, in the entertainment world, is that Lori Loughlin got fired by Hallmark Channel. And she and her husband, I believe, both had bail set at $1 million each. And so then... We talked about some of the other, Felicity Huffman, her husband, William H. Macy, he was questioned, not arrested. She was arrested. Some of the other ties to really rich people who decided that they could buy their way into a great university like USC or Stanford or Yale for their kids who wouldn't have otherwise gotten in. Or maybe they would have. Maybe they would have gotten in. But they decided to boost their opportunities. It really dawned on me earlier in the week when I was reading the story and seeing some of the details is that when people tell you there's things that money can't buy, yeah, they're not talking about the United States. You can pretty much buy everything if you fork over enough money. Also, there's tax fraud charges waiting in the wings. Why? Because these rich people who, in some cases, and we know this about Loughlin and her husband, paid $500,000 to create this fake sports recruit profile. Remember, both their daughters were theoretically going to be part of the rowing team, but never participated and weren't actual recruits. And so you've also got college coaches who are getting fired too for taking bribes. But the tax fraud part comes in because they were funneling their money through fake charities. So they were donating to charities. They were then seeing that money get laundered and paid out to those people who were taking the bribes. But were they also deducting the money that they made in those fake charitable donations on their taxes? I know I deduct charitable donations on my taxes. So you can imagine if they had given up $500,000 to a charity in order to make it look legit, they would deduct that, right? Or they would just thought they could get away with the bribe and with deducting that on their taxes. Gross. So yeah, she's been fired, and I'm sure there will be more fallout. Not only was she fired by Hallmark Channel, but she's not expected to appear in the next season of Fuller House. Sorry, Aunt Becky. It was a really, really terrible decision that just bit you in the ass. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, second hour of our final show of the work week. And yes, I am counting. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, asking you which team you would most like to see on Hard Knocks this coming season. So the summertime to get set for the 2019 NFL campaign. There are only 5 choices according to Hard Knocks rules. Now, could HBO bend those rules? Sure. Rules are made to be broken, clearly. But these 5 NFL teams are the ones that would be candidates based on the current rules. Lions, Raiders, Giants, Niners, and Redskins. Which one would you like to see? So we've already gotten dozens of responses on Twitter, A-Law Radio, plus on our Facebook page. There's a spot there as well, which is cool. So thanks for weighing in. And I'll read some of your responses coming up. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And it's brought to you toll-free by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. the Redskins would be interesting. They guy could make a case for any of these teams, but the Redskins might be fun with the addition of Pro Bowl safety Landon Collins. And did you, and of course he was from the Giants, they chose not to franchise tag him, but did you happen to see the gesture that was made by the team in giving him a Sean Taylor jersey? So Sean Taylor was his idol. Of course, the former credible defensive back for the Redskins who was shot and killed at his home so many years ago when he was in the prime of his career. Was it shot? Stabbed, maybe. I'm sorry. Please forgive me for not remembering. But it was terrible. It was right in the middle of what was sure to be a Hall of Fame campaign. And so Dan Snyder presented Landon Collins with a jersey for him to wear because he knows that that Collins loves Sean Taylor and had made him one of his idols when he's growing up. And actually, it was not just a Taylor jersey. It was an autographed, game-worn Sean Taylor jersey. So this was a really neat gesture by the Redskins to try to make Landon Collins feel like he not only was he special to them for his football talents, but that they want him to know he has a new family there. So that's kind of cool. And as you can imagine, this meant a lot to Landon Collins and certainly the chance to play for the same franchise as Taylor.
I want to thank Mr. Snyder, first of all. It's an opportunity. Very emotional, bro. It's a place I was always dreamed of being at because of my favorite player. It's an honor to be here. All smiles, no nervousness, just all excitement. And just ready just to put on that Redskins uniform and just show out as much as I can and play with all the heart and passion that I have for this game and show it 10 times full.
Colin says that it took him 30 to 45 minutes to calm down after he agreed to the deal with the Redskins. He actually said, "I couldn't even eat when I agreed to this deal." 6 years worth up to $84 million with $44.5 million in total guaranteed money. And while this is the big free agent splash for the Washington Redskins, if you're going to make one, this is the right way to go. So he's... I think a guy that, as we talked about with Craig Hoffman, who joined us from 106.7 The Fan earlier this week, he's a guy that is so versatile in that backfield and can do so many things. He may not be the hard hitter, say, that an Earl Thomas is with the massive physical tackles, but he blankets you with coverage and he gets side to side. And really, there's a lot of things that he can do well, so he can change that secondary. After hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I also, as I was listening to Landon, felt like this is something that I might have said too, because sometimes we get into a situation, a job situation, and we think, okay, this is it. I could be here forever. I thought I was going to be at my last network forever, but you know, things change. And so he's much younger. He's in his mid 20s. But I thought it was interesting what he said about, I wasn't looking necessarily to leave. I didn't need to leave New York to be happy in my career.
After being with the Giants and the organization up there, I didn't think I was going to leave, honestly. Just after having the years that I had up there, and once that I got the opportunity to leave, I was like, okay, let's see what happens. What's out there? Honestly, my dream was to come here. I had all my guys here. I even talked to Dr. Andrews a couple times about putting it in Mr. Snyder's ear about getting here.
He was doing his due diligence. It's about who you know sometimes more than it is about what you know. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Here's a nerd alert about the Redskins secondary. This blew me away when I read it, so I wanted to pass it along. The Redskins have used 17 starting safeties in Jay Gruden's 5 years as the head coach. What? 17 starting safeties in 5 years under Jay Gruden. Now, obviously, they're really familiar with Landon because they've had to play the Giants twice a year since he got there. After 4 seasons with the Giants, he had 3 Pro Bowls. He was an All-Pro as well. And like I said, you never really think these days are coming, Well, maybe you do sometimes. If you're in a situation where you're climbing and you're using one job to get experience and you know it's not the dream job. But for Landon Collins, life was great in New York, except for the fact that the Giants weren't winning. So this could be a major boost for the Redskins secondary. But can the Redskins win as a whole? Really good start to last year, their season. What, they 5-2? And then just lots of injuries. And so we'll see how much of a difference Landon Collins makes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Is the Washington franchise the one that you would most like to see on HBO's Hard Knocks? Lots of people are pointing to the Raiders, though Ray says the Redskins are a train wreck too, meaning like we would want to watch Hard Knocks because you've got a team that is a train wreck being featured. Jeffrey says Antonio Brown and John Gruden could keep the show entertaining. Let's see. David says Raiders. Michael says Niners. Oh, Gina says I would enjoy watching the Bama reunion and seeing how their college training is in effect now. That's why she would like to watch the Redskins. As a Bama fan, that would be enjoyable to me. I know when I've talked to various Bama products in the past, Alabama products in the past, I've asked them the question about playing under Nick Saban and playing for this Alabama regime and how it compares to what they have experienced in the NFL. And some of them have told me Alabama was tougher, that it was more rigid. There were higher expectations. There was more pressure there. And so talk about preparation for the NFL, for sure. I don't think that's Nick Saban's focus. Maybe he would like to make sure that his guys, as a byproduct, are prepared for professional football. But he's focused on making them into the best team possible, just the way that he coaches. And again, the pressure that's on that team all the time, the spotlight that's on Alabama, because of the success that they've had, the expectations are sky high. And so to try to meet those expectations means you really don't get a day off because everybody is gunning for you. All right, 855-212-4227. Aaron says, would love to see the AB circus in Raiders camp. Hashtag here we go Steelers. So a Steelers fan who wants to see the Raiders on Hard Knocks. Those are all your responses, or some of your responses on Twitter, but we've also put a spot up on Facebook. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Smith crouches in under center. Handoff Peterson, hit by Collins and dropped back at the 33-yard line. A loss of two on the play for Landon Collins.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Giants Redskins 2018 with Bob Papa on the Giants Radio Network. But very soon, actually now, we just won't see them on the field together for a while. But Adrian Peterson and Landon Collins are teammates in D.C. Coming up, a final hour of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about the Baltimore Ravens. So an interesting roller coaster ride so far in free agency for them. One of their longtime defensive players has gone cross country. So Terrell Suggs introduced in Arizona on Thursday, and he was asked why. Why the desert?
Because I'm not retiring. But no, you know, I had to make the decision, you know, to come back and play a couple more years or whatever I got left, you know what I'm saying? And felt like if I wasn't going to be in a Ravens jersey, there's only one place I was going to be playing. So, and here we are.
He's just one member of the Ravens defense that has gone down a different path. C.J. Mosley now with the Jets. Eric Weddle also cross country with the Los Angeles Rams. And so we'll talk some Ravens football. Get the inside scoop coming up in our final hour. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 855-212-4227. Which team would you most like to see on Hard Knocks? Now, there are only five candidates according to the HBO rules. So not my rules, these are the HBO rules. And those include Lions, Raiders, Giants, Niners, Redskins. So interestingly enough, you have two teams in the Bay Area, two teams in the NFC East, and then Detroit. It's got Matt Patricia and what's starting to look like Patriots Midwest. Let's talk to Sean, who's in Houston. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. Thanks. I love the show.
Thank you.
I think, obviously, the sexy pick is Oakland because you got John Gruden. Now you got Mike Mayock being the general manager over there. He's, you know, kind of just built for TV where he came from. But I really think that the ones that I think they're going to end up going with got to be the 49ers, John Lynch, general manager, Kyle Shanahan right over there, and also trying to see if Jimmy Garoppolo can come back from, like, you know, his injury right there. That'll be a really big thing. Mm. And then the last one I would really like, and I don't think that, you know, Patriots Midwest would be really a compelling storyline at all, and as dysfunctional as the Redskins fan base is and their management, I think that the Giants and the aftermath of no more Odell and what's that offense going to look like and how much does, you know, Eli have left in the tank, that would be one. But I think your top two's got to be the 49ers and the Raiders.
Just out of curiosity, why do you think the Redskins fan base is dysfunctional?
I think if they're kind of like split down the middle when it comes to their expectations when it was with Cousins at first, I think that we're seeing now that Cousins is, you know, the quote, the late, great, I forget it. They are who we thought they were.
Mm. Well, no different than any fan base. Every fan base waffles. Every fan base is hard on its quarterbacks. And every fan base obsesses over who could be the next great. And, I mean, that's every fan base. They're all up and down, all over the place, because we're driven by emotion as fans. We tend to be very illogical and irrational when it comes to rooting for our teams. Sean, thank you so much for your call in Houston. Let's talk to James, who's in San Francisco. James, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Hi. I'm in the Bay Area, so I probably am biased, but I do feel like I agree with the previous caller that the best options are either of the two Bay Area teams for most of the reasons he mentioned as well. You know, Washington also is dealing with a lot. The Washington could be an interesting angle that they're dealing with quarterback drama at the moment, mm-hmm. but I feel like the NFL might not want to remind the rest of the country that that name and logo is still there as much as they can. Detroit.
I don't think anyone's forgetting, James. I don't think that that's something that you can just forget. I mean, the Redskins have chosen to stick with their logo, to stick with their longtime name, and I don't know there's any hiding it.
That's fair. That is fair as well. But with the Bay Area team as well, with Oakland, who the previous caller mentioned, you also have, if they do delve a little bit more into the fan base, you've got the potentially last season and all of the
true
requisite trauma therein and how people are dealing with that. You know, longtime Raiders that have been around, fan base, the ownership. San Francisco has all the factors that were mentioned previously, a lot of people coming back, and whoever the number two pick ends up being. Those two seem a little more interesting and potentially with a little more upside than Detroit, or at least in terms of projections, than Detroit and the Giants, which might just sort of be a sinking ship in slow motion.
Yeah, but sometimes sinking ships have more drama. Here's something else to think about with the Giants. Now, we don't know if they're going to do this, but they desperately need to draft a quarterback. So if they draft a young QB and you have this dynamic, let's just say for the sake of argument, it's Dwayne Haskins. You have Dwayne Haskins trying to learn from Eli Manning. Who knows if Eli is going to be forthcoming in that situation, but you could also have the last training camp of Eli Manning as an NFL player. Now, I don't know if everybody's interested in that, but that dynamic could be fascinating too. A brand new quarterback, the quarterback of the future. And remember, it was Eli Manning who got drafted. Well, he ended up finagling a trade to the Giants, but it was his rookie season when Kurt Warner started out 5-2 as the starter of the Giants, and then they decided we're not going to go anywhere, and so they started Eli Manning, and from that point on. So, yeah, there's an interesting storyline there, too, if they do end up drafting a QB.
Yeah, I will definitely. I can agree that if they go that route, go, and maybe he was just overshadowed as usual by his brother. Eli seems like a little bit less interesting of a personality on that front. I may not be giving him enough credit.
Unless they're doing commercials together, those are always funny.
there is that aspect. So yeah, if obviously a new quarterback is always a potentially compelling reason. That's also something you don't necessarily have as much in Detroit by comparison. Stafford has, you know, been there and hasn't jumped out too much. He's not a bad quarterback, but he just would have been there. So you don't have that angle, which is always juicy. So they have a pretty decent selection of teams. It seems like some of the wider range of potential outcomes are in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say this before I wrap up. I started driving Uber a few months back, and so since I'm working late nights, I get to hear you a lot and the other CBS Sports hosts, and not to, you know, denigrate any of your colleagues, but you've easily been my favorite of the hosts that I've been able to listen to for these last few months. So
Thank you. First time
calling in, I'm glad to do it.
Oh, awesome, James. Well, I hope to hear from you again. Drive safe.
Thanks a lot.
Whoops. Shoot. We were doing double goodbye, and I wasn't ready for the double goodbye. Yes, James, have a good night. I remember when we were in San Francisco for Super Bowl week, it was great because I had the chance to meet a bunch of local drivers. Even the doorman at the place where I was staying for the week, he said that all of them who worked night shift were big fans of the show. So that was cool. It is neat to think about those of you who listen on the West Coast and the fact that you're wrapping up your night with us and that we get to be one of the first voices that you hear, especially in the Bay Area. I think we take over KNBR, the great blowtorch in the Bay Area, at midnight Pacific time. I believe that's still in operation. If I'm wrong, I guess you can let me know. So always fun to have that big fan base join us. I do like what James said about the Raiders in what could be their final season in Oakland. Now, we don't actually know that to be sure. And let's be honest, we don't even know where they're playing. But presumably, by the time we get to training camp, we will know where they're playing their football games. But that, I wonder, though, if that's more for us than it is for them. Like, is it more dramatic and more emotional for fans who have seen the team play in Oakland for so long and would be bidding farewell, as opposed to, say, a bunch of players? Now, some of them have been there for years. Gruden certainly has an emotional attachment to Oakland. He talked about that last season when they played their final home game of the year, and he thought it could be the end of their days in the Coliseum. Turns out it might not be. But I think for the most part, you wouldn't necessarily have that theme on Hard Knocks because many of them are transplants. They're not people who are not players who have been there for a really long time. But the Antonio Brown angle, that's TV gold. He loves the camera and he believes that the camera loves him. All right, we've got great phone calls. And so far, we've got more on the line, 855-212-4227. Nick Foles gets introduced as well by the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Tom Coughlin is fired up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, on Twitter, A-Law Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We'll get right back to your phone calls coming up here momentarily, but Nick Foles, one of the biggest free agent signings, partly because of the position of quarterback, but also because of his resume over the last couple years with the Philadelphia Eagles, and he was introduced as the newest starter for the Jacksonville Jaguars on Thursday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Tom Coughlin, we know that he can get very intense, very excited. He was bouncing up and down in his chair talking about his new QB.
Yesterday, March 13th, 2019, launched the start of the new league year. This is a new day, and we charge ahead. This signing today signals change and a new start for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Nick is a winner. He has faced adversity early in his career, but through hard work and perseverance, he led his team to a Super Bowl championship in 2017, and in so doing, was selected as the coveted Super Bowl Most Valuable Player.
I love that he gives us the rundown on the resume. He's very dramatic there as they introduce Nick Foles. Now, Foles is a completely different type of personality. Yes, he gets excited. Yes, he's intense. But it's not quite that bite of a Tom Coughlin. However, this is what he wanted. He wanted an opportunity to have a team and a huddle and an offense that were his to run. He wanted the chance to be the leader, the undisputed leader of a locker room. And so this is what he gets as he signs with the Jacksonville Jaguars and does it to the tune of 4 years, $88 million.
Really excited to be here. My heart's pounding in my chest just to be a part of Jacksonville and be a part of this community. First off, I want to thank Shad Khan and the Khan family for just allowing me to be a part of this family, about being a part of the Jaguar family. That's why I play this game, is to step in the huddle and play with the guys I love, my brothers. Those are the guys I lean on, and that's what makes a great team. It's what makes a great organization, is that brotherhood. And honestly, that starts with getting to know one another. And, you know, that'll start in April when we get together.
It's interesting the Jaguars are somewhere in the middle of what is the two trends, the two highways in the NFL when it comes to quarterbacks. You have a bunch of young quarterbacks who are playing on their rookie deal, who are still in those first few years of their careers, but already we've seen the potential. They've already been thrown into the fire, so to speak, but they're relatively cheap for their teams. Now, at some point, if those teams keep these quarterbacks, they'll have to be paid. But for now, they're getting him for bargain basement prices. Then you have the opposite, the Aaron Rodgers of the world, who were making $30 million per season. Even Drew Brees, who is making $25 million per season. So you don't have a lot of quarterbacks who are where Nick Foles is currently. Yes, $50 million guaranteed from the Jaguars, but they're getting him for only $22 million average annual value. So for some people who said they overpaid for Foles, I don't believe that. Now, do they need to get production from him? Do they need to turn that offense and that franchise around for this money to be worth it? Yes, but if they get back to the playoffs, if they get a couple more playoff wins, maybe they return to the AFC Championship, they will not care one iota about the money they're spending on Foles. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As Foles mentioned, and I kind of believe him when he speaks, I don't know that he's the type of guy to blow smoke. He was targeting the Jags, and he knew that this was a place that he could be comfortable.
Ever since I became a free agent and, you know, we gave the buyback to Philadelphia and we knew we were going to be free, you know, Jacksonville was always on top of the list of a team I was looking at as a potential, because you really don't know throughout the process because it just opened up this week.
He's so matter of fact about things, and yet it doesn't feel like an act. It really doesn't. He's just down to earth, normal, quote unquote, guy, however you might define normal. Even when you see him do TV interviews, even when you see him promote a book, when you read the letter that he wrote to the Philadelphia Eagles fans on the Player Tribune, it doesn't feel like there's any type of pretense or assumption there. It's just Nick. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. One more thing I want you to hear from him, and we've been talking about this. The fact that Jacksonville went out and got John DeFilippo, who had been fired by the Vikings, but is now the offensive coordinator in Jacksonville, and, of course, was the quarterback's coach when Carson Wentz got injured early December 2017, and they had to tailor that offense to Foles.
Coach Flip over here is someone that I've been with on the biggest stage. We've gone through so much together. We know each other's personalities. He knows how I like to, you know, play the game, what my tendencies are, and we know how to work together. So that's something that is great. When you go into a new team, it's not always that way where you're familiar with someone, and I'm really familiar with Flip, so I'm excited about that.
That's huge. That's the kicker for the Jaguars. How many of you have written to me to say that Nick Foles is a system quarterback? Well, if that's the case, they've got the system, and they've got the guy who can run it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Let's get to some calls here. Mike is in Boston. Welcome to After Hours.
Am I on the radio right now?
If you want to be.
Yeah, I do. I'm sorry. I'm a kind of a rookie. No, I love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
I was calling in because my water polo coach in high school, he's from Yugoslavia out in California. He was snared up in that bribery at USC. He's a USC women's water polo coach.
Mm.
And it was just crazy. Like, he came over and it was like the American dream come true. You know, like, he went from our high school, then to USC, won a bunch of titles, and now he's, last I heard, he was in a jail cell in Honolulu.
What?
So, kind of crazy.
So he, when you say he's caught up in it, he was one of the coaches who is accused of taking bribes?
Yep. He took like $250,000, I think. Yeah, he was caught up. He was writing up, you know.
Forget phony. Caught up. He was one of the reasons why it was succeeding.
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't caught up. He was a player. He was
Gosh.
A player. He was a crazy coach. Like, he would scream at us. Like, he was a silver medalist in Yugoslavia. So, like, he was hardcore for us. Like, we're all, like, surfer guys playing water polo. And then we get this, like, dead serious water polo coach. And he brought us to the CIF championships. He was really good. But, he went to USC and did great things. But
what was your reaction when you saw his name?
I wasn't surprised.
Really?
Not at all. But I was also sad, you know, because...
Sure.
It was too bad, you know, but he's kind of done, I think. No.
Yeah, no, I think kind of. There's actually been calls for the USC athletic director to get completely blown out, too, that this was happening under his nose, whether he knew or didn't know. But, yeah, it's kind of incredible how many coaches thought this was never going to come back to bite them. Like, they would never get found out. Come on.
Incredible, yeah. Like, as the story keeps opening up, you're just like, oh, my gosh.
Right.
So, I don't know. I love your show, and I thought you might find that interesting.
I do, actually. Thank you for sharing your personal connection to a criminal, Mike.
Yeah.
Have a great Friday.
All right, you too. Thanks.
Brett is listening in Portland, Oregon. Brett, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
Your listeners are amazing, your callers are amazing, and you're amazing. And there can be no team other than the Oakland Raiders that goes on Hard Knocks.
Okay.
What a clown show, dumpster fire, train wreck, whatever you want to call it. There is nothing more compelling or entertaining than the Raiders organization. I mean, I can go on and on for decades of incompetence. Their commitment to excrement is astonishing.
Okay, but they're not putting decades on Hard Knocks. So what about this particular edition of the Raiders do you think would be appealing on TV?
Oh, my God. Well, first thing, John Gruden was good for, what, 2 years? And then they lost him. And he went somewhere else and became the coach of the team that then beat them in the Super Bowl. So there you go. 20 years past his prime, they bring in Gruden, who is statistically a below-average coach at this point. So that's one. Two is Derek Carr was good for, what, about 6 months? And they gave him a mega extension. Then they dump Khalil Mack off like he isn't the best defensive player in the entire league. They ship out the other receiver who goes to Dallas and completely reinvigorates Dallas. And we're supposed to get excited about a close to over-the-hill diva wide receiver in Antonio Brown who used this entire thing just to get himself paid in the middle of another deal. I'm not having it. The Raiders are a dumpster fire. They're a joke. They've always been a dumpster
fire. But that makes good TV. That's what we watch on TV all the time. It's like soap operas.
I totally agree. It's like there's no question what should be the team. Like we only want to watch the Raiders. They are just, they're the laughing stock of professional sports. They're homeless. They're a homeless professional sports team.
Well, that's terrible. You made it sound like you made it sound like there's no hope, but I think there's always hope, Brett.
Unless you're the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, sweet. Well, thank you for the entertaining phone call. That was fun.
Maybe I'll call back if only you give me the chance.
Oh, well, you know the phone number. I can't block you. Well, I could, I won't.
You could, but this is super entertaining. I don't call often because I only sometimes work swing shift. But your show is awesome. Your callers
you.
Are great. You're easily the best thing going.
All right, now you're blowing smoke, but thank you.
No, I'm not. I have been booted from the Ben Maller show over and over again, and I am not done.
All right, good, Brett. Thank you. Josh is listening in Boston. Josh, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Amy, just to your point about Nick Foles, I think he's the best quarterback in Florida at this point. You know, I don't have faith in Jameis Winston. I don't know who the Miami Dolphins quarterback's going
to
be.
Yeah, we haven't actually gotten a decision down there, have we? I keep waiting for something to happen with the Dolphins, but we haven't yet.
Yeah, I know, right? But to my original point on the Patriots, I'm really scared, Amy. You know, I think they're getting into a mode where they just won 13-3 in the Super Bowl. They feel like they can win on defense and running the ball. The moves they made wide receiver-wise didn't really impress me today. They let Golden Tate go for, you know, they could have acquired him easily. They were in on Adam Humphries, let him go as well. And then as far as, like, what's out on the wide receiver free agency market right now, it's really thin. So we have Julian Edelman and who else, you know, it's very thin.
So I would agree that the Patriots look on paper like they've done a whole lot of nothing. And in fact, they've had a lot of guys leave who played major roles in that Super Bowl championship. But I would remind you, the first month of last season, what was happening with that wide receiver core? It was like a revolving door of different targets for Tom Brady. And Julian Edelman was obviously suspended for the first month. They brought in Josh Gordon. They tried Cordell Patterson. They just essentially were trying to find any group of guys that would stick and that could take that offense and look like it had some type of a rhythm and groove. So that's one thing. Let's not freak out too much, because this is not all that dissimilar to where they were a year ago with their wide receivers and trying to figure out how they were going to fill a void left, of course, without Julian Edelman. But also, even in the wake of their third Super Bowl title in five seasons, and even with 10 consecutive AFC East division championships, even with this unprecedented success, there's no way that Bill Belichick ever gets complacent. There's no way that Bill Belichick ever, he takes days off, let's be honest, but there's no way that he ever thinks, okay, that's it. I've achieved everything I want to achieve, and I'm done. When that's the case, he will retire. He'll step down. No, he's a guy that's completely driven, and it comes from inside of him. So he doesn't even need external motivation. So, yeah, in no way do I think that the Patriots are in dire straits. It may look like it right now. They may be a day late and a dollar short and what appears to be this active free agent market, but they're not done. He's always got a plan, and he's pretty good with how they divvy up that money, too. Thanks so much for joining us. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.